Commodities and labor fundamentals. Commodities, often mentioned in financial news, are things people need like food, clothes, homes, and gadgets. Use value, as Marx put it, refers to how useful a commodity is. This usefulness is crucial because it's what creates wealth in society. In capitalism, goods can also represent something called exchange value. This means even items with no practical use can still hold value. For instance, art and music don't provide basic needs like shelter or food, but they can still be highly valued in the marketplace. The value of many things lies in both how useful they are and what they can be sold for. Take a store's storeroom full of athletic shoes, for example. These shoes can be sold for money, which pays for rent, salaries, and more shoes to sell. If the shoes are trendy and stylish, they become even more valuable than just being practical footwear. All things we buy, from shoes to cars to hairspray to corn, share one thing: they come from human work. Commodities are like solid forms of social labor, carrying value. Labor creates both what a thing does and what it's worth. Useful labor means work that makes something people want. Tailoring a coat or weaving linen are both useful because they make useful things. Social division of labor and value creation. Not all types of work are the same. Making different things like clothes or fabric needs different skills. For example, a tailor can't make fabric, and a weaver can't make clothes. This creates the social division of labor, where a community needs different jobs to make things. This division is necessary for making stuff, but not everyone makes things alone. In places like some Indian communities or factories, jobs are split up. So, not all work can be easily traded like goods. In some societies, like Indian communities or factories, tasks are divided to produce goods, but not all labor can be treated as interchangeable commodities. The value of commodities, like coats or linen, reflects the human effort put into them, regardless of the specific job. This simplification is crucial for making these goods comparable and tradable. For example, tailoring and weaving, despite their different skills, are seen as equally valuable because they both represent human labor. The value of a product depends on how much labor goes into making it. For example, a coat worth twice as much as the linen it's made from has twice the labor put into it. This doesn't affect how useful the products are. Both a coat and linen still serve their purposes just fine. Commodities and labor fundamentals. Think of a basic item, like a wooden table. It seems straightforward, doesn't it? But there's more to it than meets the eye. The table is practical. It holds your coffee cup, laptop, and maybe a houseplant. This usefulness comes from people working with wood to make something useful. No secrets here. When this table is sold, it's no longer just furniture. It becomes more valuable, like any other product, no matter what it is. Moreover, this simple table starts representing complex social connections. The value of things we make, like tables or chairs, isn't just about the materials or how they look. It's about the time and effort people put into making them. This labor time is important because it shows how we create what we need to live. So, when we buy or sell something, its value isn't just about how useful it is or what it's made of. It's about how it's turned into something we trade, like a commodity. This is why things made by people can seem real and also show how we work together in society. Understand product value through human labor. The value of things like tables isn't just about their physical materials or design. It's mostly about the time and effort people put into making them. This time and effort, called labor time, are important because they determine how we produce what we need to live. So, why do products have value? It's because they're made by people and exchanged as goods. This value isn't about how useful something is or what it's made of. Instead, it reflects the social relationships behind its creation, Dot products, like tables, are both real things we can touch and symbols of the social connections involved in their creation. The idea that the value of things reflects the effort people put into making them is a big step in understanding society. But knowing this doesn't change how we see things. For example, we know air is a mix of gases, yet we just think of it as air. Similarly, we grasp the idea of value, but we still see it as something objects naturally have. So, a wooden table isn't just furniture. It's made by people, it shows social connections, and it's part of the complex world of things we buy and sell. Capital's mobility and value. Commodities show the labor that made them. When they sell for more than they cost to produce, they create surplus value, or capital. This capital isn't an object. It's a circulating force in society. Marx sees capital moving in a circular path through different stages of the economy. This circuit has three phases: money capital, productive capital, and commodity capital. Here's how it works. Capitalists start with money, buy resources and labor to create products in the productive phase, and then sell these products for money, completing the cycle. This cycle repeats continuously in the capitalist system. There are different types of capital, fixed and circulating. Circulating capital includes raw materials and labor, which are used up completely in production and pass their value to the final product. For example, when making a cake, flour and eggs are your circulating capital. Interconnectedness and fixed capital in the capitalist system. Fixed capital refers to durable goods or infrastructure used in production, like an oven for baking or bowls and a mixer for preparing batter. These items gradually transfer their value to the final product over time. Each part of the capitalist system relies on the others. For everything to run smoothly, one sector's output must meet another sector's input needs. This means the system needs balanced production across industries. Take a toy factory, for example. It needs plastic from the plastic industry and packaging from the paper industry. For continuous production, one industry's output toys become the input play materials for another industry, like retail stores or daycare centers. Marx calls this interdependence reproduction schemes. Excessive hoarding harms. Let's explore how the sale and purchase of commodities work. Normally, the circulation of money creates a flow between these two actions, forming a continuous exchange. However, if purchases don't immediately follow sales, money stops circulating and becomes immobile. Early in commerce, people realized the need or desire to keep the money from sales. Commodities were often sold not to buy other goods, but to turn them into cash, leading to money hoarding. A historical example is Indian society's behavior in past centuries. Indians were known to hoard or bury their money, keeping large amounts of silver out of circulation. Between 1602 and 1734, Indians reportedly buried 150 million pounds sterling of silver. Similarly, from 1856 to 1866, England exported 120 million pounds in silver to India and China, most of which ended up in India. The role of hoarding in economics and society. The value of a commodity also shows how attractive it is to all other parts of wealth, indicating the social wealth of its owner. Having lots of gold often signals high social status and smarts. Marx points out that the desire to hoard is insatiable due to gold's potential for trading universally. Every hoard has a limit to its worth, causing hoarders to keep collecting more, similar to Sisyphus endlessly pushing a boulder uphill. Interestingly, hoarding demands self-control, resisting the temptation to use gold for pleasure. Hard work, saving, and being thrifty are crucial in this process of gathering wealth. Hoarding serves an important role in the economy. Changes in how goods move and their prices cause money to go up and down. A country needs more gold and silver than it uses for money. Hordes help with this by acting as backups. They control how much money moves in and out of use. Money isn't just for trading things, it's more than that. It shows what we want, what scares us, and what we think is important. Sometimes, it even shows our good qualities. Next time you see a coin, think about this. It's not just metal. It shows human work, needs, and goals. Alienation, inherent, not an error. Understanding how systems of capital are becoming more intricate, such as today's global economy, shows how the basic concept of exchanging labor for value can get lost in the maze of economics. Marx believed alienation in capitalism occurs when workers are disconnected from their work, the products they make, themselves, and each other. This happens because they have no control over how their work is designed or managed. For example, factory workers who repeatedly attach parts to products might find their work dull and feel disconnected from it. Although they earn wages for their labor, the value of what they produce is often more than their pay. This extra value, known as surplus value, is taken by the capitalist class, leading to a divide between classes and perpetuating inequality. Under capitalism, workers don't own the products they make that belong to the capitalist. This means workers are cut off from the results of their own labor. For example, imagine workers crafting beautiful furniture, but unable to afford any for themselves. What they create remains beyond their reach. Work in capitalism isn't always about self-expression or creativity. It's mainly a way to survive. This leads to workers feeling disconnected from their potential and humanity. Consider an artist with great talent, forced to work in a call center just to pay bills, leaving no time or energy for their artistic pursuits. Alienation and profit decline. In a competitive market, capitalism can make workers feel isolated from each other. They often compete for jobs, promotions, and pay, which weakens their sense of community. This issue is especially important when you consider another idea, the law of the tendency of the rate of profit to fall. To put it simply, in a capitalist economy over time, profits tend to decrease. How does this happen? To make more money, capitalists invest in machines and technology to increase productivity and cut labor costs. However, because the value in a product comes from human work, not machines, relying more on machines than human labor reduces the overall value produced, leading to lower profit rates. When capitalists invest in machinery to increase their own profits, it seems like a smart move. However, when all capitalists do this, it can actually lower the overall profit rate across the economy. Marx explains that this trend leads to economic crises because lower profits make investing less appealing. This, in turn, leads to overproduction and economic downturns. According to Marx, this instability is one of the main problems of capitalism. Key points. 1. Commodities reflect both their usefulness and the labor invested in their creation. 2. Labor, divided by skill, determines value through effort and time in making goods. 3. Capital flows in cycles of money, production, and goods, driving the economy forward. 4. Fixed tools and materials transfer value, while industries depend on balanced production. 5. Hoarding money disrupts circulation, but can act as a backup during economic shifts. 6. Workers in capitalism often feel disconnected from their labor and its outcomes. 7. Overuse of machines lowers profits, leading to crises and instability in capitalism.